Good evening, everyone, both here and at home. It's 6:31. I have to be in open. We begin by acknowledging the Gadigal people, the traditional custodians of the land. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present. I let everybody know that the audio of the council meeting will be recorded, will be made available on the City Marriott website. Some advice. I ask the local members if they foresee any potential conflict of interest with an item on the agenda. None, we'll keep moving. It won't be too late if you come across an item and make that declaration in time. Someone like to move that the minutes of the last general council meeting be confirmed. Thank you, Councillor Seeker, Councillor Telfer. All those in favour, unanimously, thank you. Now, just looking at the communications reports, page 32. Was there a replacement mayor's report?
Yes, through the chair, an additional agenda was distributed to members yesterday, which had that update to the report included in that new agenda.
The humorous bit that caught my attention was the mayor on the 24th of June opening the Mitchell Park Football Club, but that is about 18 months ago. I've had words with the assistant concerned. So, other than that, any questions, Councillor Hall?
Just out of curiosity, the deputy mayor's report, I'm fascinated to know what was discussed at the coffee with Councillor Duncan and Councillor Garden.
It was not necessarily a conspiracy, but I invite the deputy mayor to respond.
I'm more than happy to answer Councillor Hall's question. Councillor Garden, Councillor Duncan, and myself met to discuss a local issue that is in tomorrow night's agenda.
Very good. Well, so I'm not sure that those reports we received, that you, Councillor Hall, said to Councillor Pryor, I was in favour. Carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, there is an adjourned item which therefore comes up on the agenda immediately now, the final privacy policy, but I don't think we have a couple of deputations. So the leader of the meeting, what I would suggest is deferring that privacy policy until the petitions are out of the way. Or maybe even until the committee recommendations are in place, so just a little bit further down the list so that we can hear deputations. It's a bit complicated tonight to switch back and forwards between being in confidence and not being in confidence because we have people joining us electronically as well as those physically in the room. So therefore, I don't propose to bring forward any confidential items. Sometimes we will do that in conjunction with the deputation, but it starts to become technologically slightly complicated and causing unnecessary delays. So what I propose is that we hear the two deputations we have, Mr. Jessup and Mr. Kernahan. I know that there was a deputation request refused, but with that, I'm happy to call up the gentleman giving deputations. So I'm not sure if there's a specific order in the agenda. We've got Mr. Jessup and Mr. Kernahan tonight, have we not?
Yes, but are we doing Mr. Kernahan as part of the code for item inclusion?
I suppose there might be questions for item. There might be questions which come from confidential matters, I don't know. So we'll just have to get that on as soon as we can. So it's just Mr. Jeff and Mr. Jessup at this stage. If you'd like to come forward, no, we're going to have you in a chair in the centre of the what we call the horseshoe, for obvious reasons. One of the staff may indicate how to operate the microphone. In fact, when you want to speak, just press the button. It's as simple as that. So you have 5 minutes, I'll let you proceed. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Andrew Jessup. My wife, Carson, and we're here tonight. And I live at 23 Spruce Avenue in Florida. Very happy there. Tonight I present a petition from 141 residents in Watford, Warrigal, bound by Opens Road in the north, Diagonal Road in the west, and Warford Road in the east. So that, for argument's sake, tonight I'm calling the Warrigal Triangle. Following a letter drop to all residents in the Warrigal Triangle, we received 141 signatures on petition from concerned residents. One resident even doorknocked their street and collected signatures from approximately 40% of the residents, indicating a much higher number of signatories could have been received had we doorknocked. It was this time of coronavirus and isolation, we didn't think that was appropriate. The high number of signatures from this small part of Warrigal indicates significant concern and strong support for stopping overdevelopment to be achieved, we think, by limiting land division. The petition was initiated after discussions amongst neighbours, all concerned about the increasing congestion in our streets and loss of the character, attractiveness and livability. Lucky to live in such an attractive residential suburb with low to medium housing density. There's a sense of space with a pleasing mix of housing, old and new, single and double storey. The Warrigal Triangle includes the original Hamilton Park estate, built on land bought from the Hamilton winemakers way back. Some of the original 1950s housing stock built by Faraday Mills and Main, adding to the character of this area. So we think the character of this pocket of Warrigal is not yet lost. It's well worth preserving into the future. However, we fear that unrestrained land division is threatening the livability of this part of Warrigal. We've seen 2, 3, and recently 4 blocks subdivided from a single original block. There's currently approximately 20% of blocks in Warrigal Triangle are small, the result of past land division. If your land division is long far enough, should be limited in the future to preserve the character and amenities of Warrigal Triangle. We want primarily low scale, low to medium density housing in Warrigal Triangle, but the current level of development, as far as it's gone, we feel is acceptable. We see the government is proceeding with a high density redevelopment called Opens Green, south of the Army Barracks, on the opposite side of Warford Road, to create 650 houses where currently 250 exist. So why not balance this with a pocket of low to medium density housing in the Warrigal Triangle west of Warford Road? I've also recently made aware that the code, the new code being introduced by the government, will allow for limited areas where the council can introduce variations for allotment dimensions in some suburbs. So we would like the council to investigate this option for the Warrigal Triangle. In fact, what we'd like council to do, in the request they might do, is to recognise the high level of concern exhibited because of this petition that we've presented tonight. Conduct a survey of residents in the pocket and asking whether they want land division limited. Then put the survey results strongly to the planning minister, requesting changes to the code to mandate minimum block sizes for the Warrigal Triangle. We have a new planning minister, I think, for today. Perhaps she might be prepared to listen more and consider changes to the code and at the request of council. Also, consider whether the Warrigal Triangle should be considered recognised as a character zone, similar to the Overlands Park character zone, with similar features. And it estimated whether to introduce variations for a minimum allotment to each in the Warrigal Triangle once the code, the new code is activated. Not sure if that's a possibility. So in summary, the Block Council have advocated strongly for us on behalf for government to incorporate mandatory minimum block sizes for the Warrigal Triangle in this new proposed code. We'd be happy with the criteria contained in the Council's development plan amendment, which was approved last year by the Planning Minister, providing minimum block sizes that are mandated. Or if more palatable for Council and Government, classify the Warrigal Triangle as a character zone with the same criteria as the Oaklands Park area.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for listening.
So, you know, I've already written to you and you've spoken with my assistant. And so you know a bit about the history of Council's approach to problem. I can tell you also that some 4 years ago, when we embarked on limiting infill in your area, so it's the previous lot of elected members, although the same approach is endorsed by this very group of elected members. When we embarked on the process, our own staff said it couldn't happen. Then we got advice from the Department of Planning, it couldn't happen. But we persisted, consulted the community, and that's how we came up with reduction of infill plans for your area. And in about 2 years ago, the Minister approved those plans, so to bring in some greater limits. Since that's open to debate, we could say, with the design and planning code, which the petition has referred to, Council has put in a strong submission, I would suggest, to at least keep what the Minister approved 2 years ago. And I appreciate you coming up with some other ideas as well. So that's where we're at. We're pretty well on your side. But I'll invite members any quick questions today from the public. Councillor Holt.
Mr. Jessup, well known to each other. I live across the road at the Warrigal Triangle from where I live. The mayor's outlined very well what position the previous council, which I was on, this council's taken. Would you be surprised that outside of the Warrigal Triangle, which is, you know, quite a nice area, there's other nice areas in my ward alone and my elsewhere where people have the same expectations? And we have, would you agree we've actually met that basically the requirements that you are asking in front of each and all that is exactly the same as what the council's advocating for? So I hope that's understood. As to the character zone, that would have to be something that would be explored, but it would be hard to explain that away to people living in Oaklands Park or Warrigal down the southern side of the railway line, where it's a nice area as well.
Yeah, Councillor Hull, it's a question time, not a speech time.
I'll get to the point. I hope you can appreciate, and it's a question, that we can't have the whole city as a character zone.
It's all right, Mr. Jessup. We'll take that as rhetorical, I think. Any other questions? Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Jessup. I noticed during your speech you said that you and the general community were happy with zoning under our revised development plan, which was just approved by the past. So, can you confirm that for me? So, whether you're happy or not, whether the general public is happy with that zoning?
Yes, I think they are, because that zoning did indicate minimum dimensions, block dimensions of 10 metres frontage width and 350 square metres an area. If that could be mandated, we'd be absolutely happy with that.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You've made your point well, so you're welcome to take your place back in the gallery. We'll also excuse you if you'd like to move on to other things this evening. We're here for a couple of hours yet. You're welcome to stay, but there's no need to. It's up to you. And we'll take your points on board. There's now... it's been raised with me that there's feedback from having, which occurs when the microphones are on, because we're using a central microphone. If we double up with our desk microphones, it seems to be causing a problem. We couldn't have really known that until we tried it out in practice, and this is our first night back. So, members, no microphones. I can still hear a bit of feedback, I must say. But I'm instructed we'll try it without microphones for a while. Now, in relation to the petition, someone to move that we receive the petition. Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we receive the petition and that staff give council a report on the practicalities of having a character zone for this area.
Would you like that referred to the Urban Planning Committee, for example?
Yeah, I think that's what we're referred to the Urban Planning Committee in order. Pay courtesy to that committee because that's what it's on.
I've got another one for you if you'd like to take it on board. The council distributed an A4 flyer to the area bounded by Morford Road, Oaklands Road, Diagonal Road and Bruner Street, referring to the petition and explaining council's efforts to limit urban infill as described in this report.
Absolutely, and maybe even add to that that the council will refer to the planning committee the prospects of having a character zone. I don't know whether it's going to lift expectations on reason or not, but that is a resolution that I'm putting forward right now.
I guess I would expect such a report to the community would include the recommendations of, or the motions, resolutions of tonight.
The other part of the motions to me would be to actually indicate the petition as the resolution tonight.
Well, the A4 flyer will do that, you see. What I'm, the reason that I suggested that in writing, mind you, which is best practice, and I recommend it for you as well, if you're going to come up with motions on the night, is to... the reason is that the discussion of petition has obviously been widespread through that area, and even if we show Mr. Jessup and Mrs. Jessup the courtesy of a response, an official response, but there are plenty of people who won't get to hear about it. So it's more a matter of community feedback, if you like. But it would cover those matters that you mentioned.
Mr. Mayor, the motion has to be spontaneous tonight because it was generated by council by petition, so, you know, it's just how it
works. You actually had this for a number of days, so you did have an opportunity to prepare something. Let's not have a debate about that.
Can I just briefly speak to the motion? If this
something that you know that we're all in agreement with, but yeah, go ahead.
But I think very quickly the point is that what we're hearing from the community should be resonating with us that they've actually made the right decision. And it's a situation that's not going away. Every time they knock down a house and build two or three in this area, and it's happening more and more down there, Street frontages that used to be side fences are now frontages. It's a fairly dramatic change in parts of that area. The community, the end of the community is building and building, and that's what's been demonstrated tonight. And that's all I'd like to point
out. I'm surprised. Seconded. Wish to add something? Thank you. Just confirming, mover and seconder, just confirming the wording, sorry, there was something else. So number two, a report to be brought to the committee on the matters raised by Mr. Jessup at the meeting at the General Council meeting. And at bottom of three, we put a comma and informing residents of council's resolution.
Yeah.
Resolutions, I suppose.
Mr. Mayor, do we need to be a little bit more explicit? Maybe have in brackets, i.e. potential character zone, just so it's a heads up to that committee, the direction that has been asked to be considered.
It would probably be EG instead of ID.
Sometimes the devil's off the table.
I think you know that won't happen. Fine, it's in there. Anyone speaking in opposition? And I'll put the motion, all those in favour. That's carried unanimously, thank you. So I'm sure Mrs. Jessup will be able to stay for that. Now we're on to page 191. A petition there in relation to Franklin Court. So we've had a bit of email traffic about it.
Sorry, Mr. Studio, are we going to move back to the agenda item first?
I said actually, I thought we agreed after the committee recommendations.
No, that's fine.
So that would just leave this item and the committee recommendations.
No, that's fine.
The privacy policy.
You want to go page number, sorry?
Sorry, 191.
I'm assuming I have a call.
Yes. If you're putting your hand up.
Yes. Members, there's some email traffic about this issue. I've spoken to several residents yesterday and today regarding this. I understand. We'll go back. As ward councillors in our ward briefing, when the issue of the Wood End Gate arose, there was issues around parking and that it could be the end of Franklin Court, which is a dead end, could be used as a kiss and go and a drop-off pick-up area for the local school. So to alleviate those concerns for residents, we worked with staff, with Mr. Allen, Mr. Griffin, to implement a trial of a no-standing zone between school hours. Now, during the consultation, there were some residents that were against it, and they were the residents that were closer to the Wood End Primary School gate. But it's now got to a point where the trial has ended, and those residents are actually relatively happy with the trial that has happened, and are happy for the no standing zone to be implemented. The way the trial has been done, the petition has come back from a resident that has been fined, and having spoken to other residents, they feel that the only reason they have signed the petition is to get a particular neighbour off their front porch. However, I note that there is the petition, so the motion that I would like to move this evening would be to note the petition and to look at option one, which is retain the no stopping zone as per resident survey preference, and not advise the petitioner of council's decision. I believe this would be the best outcome for the street, having spoken with many of the residents and having one today ring me specifically saying that they are in very close proximity to the neighbour that has done the petition, and they would support the no standing zone staying in place. My other argument would be what I have said around emails, that a permit zone. Yes, we have permit zones in two other places around council, I believe. But if we are to implement a permit zone for these residents, does that mean residents that have a yellow line in front of their house are entitled to a permit as well, because we take away their parking? I do not believe that because there is street park in front of your house, that means you are entitled to that parking. And I think that the no standing zone is the best option. It is only a couple of hours a day, and that's the position of myself and I believe my fellow ward councillor.
Just a factual clarification, councillor. Well, first of all, to be fair, we're talking about 8 to 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 to 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
on school days.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the no standing period.
Mm-hmm.
But I did want to ask you, would you agree that the petitioner has more vehicles than he can comfortably fit on his property?
The petitioner refuses to deal with me at the moment because I have said no in the past. I have never visited him at his property and I'm not aware of what he does for a job, so I can't answer that.
Is the motion seconded? Councillor Duncan, did you wish to speak?
I actually support Matt in this particular recommendation. I've also had telephone calls from other residents saying that it's, you know, they've taken the path of least resistance by signing the petition because it was how they actually had to deal with it. There's others who don't want it to be changed, and they're happy and they're worried about if there's more traffic parking on the roads, that they're going to put the children at risk. And children don't look quite often, and they're worried that something's going to happen, and it may be them that's actually causing the problem. So I support what Matt has just said.
Is that a question, Councillor Hull?
Two questions. You actually sent an email to staff about this very proposal, the time frame, the period. I never saw a response, so did you get a favourable response from this?
I had a response and I haven't had a chance to pass that on. I'll try and recall what the questions were. One question was about consultation and the clarification that was confirmed by staff is that if you look at residents just off the street, let's say two streets concerned, that it comes out at about 5 in favour of the regime, which is suggested by Councillor Schilling, and about 2 against. And that's if you count addresses, not double counting if there's more than one person at an address. So that's a clarification. It's also advised that, according to Australian road rules, that one can't have a permit zone and a no standing at the same time. I think they're probably the most important points in response.
So the staff would seem to look favourably at what's proposed.
Staff support the motion that's been put, I believe.
I've got to ask this question in terms of the petition. It's bizarrely corrupted in some way. I'm not sure how that happened. Is that how we received it?
Unfortunate that I have a copy, but even then there is some corruption. Is it just on the first page?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that would appear to be how it was received. Without going tracing it through clerically, I'm not sure. But our staff can vote on
that's how it was received.
I'm told that was how it was received. Yes, Councillor Wilson.
So just to confirm, the gentleman who is proposing the changes is a minority of the community, and we're going to vote with the majority in obviously.
That is correct.
That's worth bearing in mind for tomorrow night. Thank you. I just wanted to clarify that's exactly what
we're doing. Very excellent summary of the situation, Councillor Boslin. I hope it comes in handy for you. Now, any other questions on opposing?
Cheers.
Councillor Valescu, and this is, I think, if for those who are at home or at least off site, think you may need to actually yell out "Your Worship" or something like that because it's not
Your Worship. I just wanted to know, did this person who put in the petition, were they just parking their car there normally and then the no standing situation came up and they started getting fines? And is there any limitation for them to be moving their vehicles at that time? So, you know, do they have more vehicles than they can fit on their property? I'm just wondering if there's anything, you know, they may have had a change foisted on them, and obviously that has caused them quite some inconvenience. So I'm just wondering if there's an opportunity to address that issue along with the parking issue.
I can relay what the resident has told me, but I'm happy for Councillor Schilling to advise.
My advice from other residents is that they had warned the relevant the petitioner that he was parking in a no standing zone. He did get fined, from my understanding, once from council. But I was advised by other residents that they had told him this is a no standing zone, you need to move out during that time, which he did do. But I'm happy for you to also tell your part that you've heard from the resident.
So what the, well, it's gracious of you, councillor. What the resident petitioner has told me is that he uses his garage for whatever purpose, but it's not for parking a vehicle. So he normally has a car parked out on the road. That's before there was any change to parking, and indeed before the gate was opened at the school, at which time he was living at the end of the cul-de-sac. Because he works as a tradie during the day, he's not always there to move his other vehicle at a time when it needs to be moved. That's, and I'm speaking loosely because it's just my understanding, I'm not quoting him exactly. But it's in those circumstances that he hasn't always moved the car during the period of the no standing trial at the relevant times, and he's been fined accordingly. So he certainly knows about the restrictions now, but it is the case, I believe, that the restrictions came after he had his practice of parking on the street. Councillor Duncan?
I'd just like to add, though, this gentleman is the person who actually instigated all of this in the first place. He agreed to the no-standing zone, and now, because of the fine, he's changed his mind and now wants this new idea. I just wonder how long will this idea last, because it doesn't suit him either. So we've got to bear that in mind as well.
I will note that in response to Councillor Duncan, that I've seen the survey in relation to the no-standing zone, and although a particular resident ticked the box for yes to no-standing, his comment was, would like a permit zone. So he has had that view for some time, but I can't say whether it was before or after he was fined. Councillor Wesley, I think that's all that can be said in answer to that question. Any further questions? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. The petitioner will no doubt be informed. I do take the opportunity at this juncture to suggest to Mr. Skull that the engineering team speak to our community engagement team, because I find it's completely inappropriate for a traffic survey about parking restrictions in a street to be determined by those who don't live in the street. So what happened here is that there was a broader survey, should we have restrictions in that street? And because a number of people in adjoining streets answered yes, the figure of 81% was derived, and that then came into council reports. So
just one adjoining street?
One.
It's just Edison Court?
Oh, no, I'm talking about beyond Edison and Franklin. If you look at the survey results, they go into Great Eastern and I think other streets as well. So I just want to reinforce the basic point of consultation, and it's in our community engagement policy, that if there's an issue that affects people, we try and ask those people. But we don't include people that it doesn't directly affect. I can think of the Smineker Crescent Reserve as a sort of case in point as well. You don't ask people who live miles away. So with that passing comment for Mr. Skull to think about, let's move on. The committee recommendations, perhaps they could be accepted on lock, not accepted, but the minutes noted rather. Moved Councillor Schilling, seconded Councillor Duncan. Unless there are any questions, all those in favour, that's carried unanimously, thank you. And now I said we come back to the privacy policy and we agree to that, thank you. So we're going back to page 37 on the agenda. So we have seen it before. The only query I raised with staff was an addition which came in after last time. If you recall, last time was before council, because the policy said that we agree with the procedure, but we hadn't seen the procedure, we wanted to see the procedure to know what we were agreeing to. We've seen the procedure. I haven't heard any objections about that. So the only question now is there's an extra addition, which is on page 49 of the agenda in red print. And I did make the point that, though really the point that it's making is all contained in the procedure anyway, including the time frame. So I couldn't really see what was added, but I would invite the governance manager or Ms. Dinsmore to comment.
Through the chair, we're happy to have it removed if members wish that it's clarified within the procedure. We just added it in there for a little bit more clarity, but it is within the procedure, so I'm happy for it to be deleted if members think that's a better option.
So I'll leave it to the recommendations on page 38. We might just need a little bit of tweaking if somebody would like to. I see. So there's actually an amended version up on the screen. Now, we would need to share that. I've been forgetting the people off-site who would need to have a share screen to be able to see that. But I'm advised it's just deleting that sentence in red on page 49. It's so simple. Councillor Telford to move as printed and seconded Councillor Seeker. So did you wish to speak, Councillor Telford? Councillor Seeker, everyone's happy there. Any questions or opposition, Councillor Hoff?
I just have a question that in the event of an IT breach and there happened more than more, Councillor Gard provided an email that spelled that out very, very well the other day. We will have a procedure to fall back on, and it won't be. I just want to know whether there's the opportunity for somebody to arbitrarily take the view that there's nothing in this and nobody will be notified. I want to actually have some comfort in knowing that those sort of decisions might be made, and that the real interests of our community are actually taken on board in terms of managing this. And I just want to stress that there's no shame in having an IT breach. Some people go out of their way to hack.
I think we get the point of the question. Thanks, Councillor. I actually can't see anything in there that is arbitrary. It's a fairly detailed procedure, I would have thought, but I'll invite one of the managers to comment.
Yeah, through the chair. So the procedure outlines that within the first 30 days that the matter would be investigated and that the determination would be made up front within that first 30 days of, and we quote the in section 3.4 brings up when people will be notified. So it talks about when serious harm is likely to occur to one or more individuals, that is when a notification would occur. So the procedure is quite detailed. What's important to note is that within that first 30 days, you need to make that initial assessment of what is the actual consequences of the harm, and then the procedure kicks in after that.
Just a supplementary, how quickly, if it was identified there's any chance of the community being disadvantaged by the breach, how quickly would the elected members be notified?
I think that rather depends, but...
I'm not sure off the top of my head.
I don't believe there's a provision about necessarily notifying elected members, because the notification provisions are about notifying affected people.
Mm.
But the practice has been at council that if there's some significant occurrence generally, or threat or harm or whatever, generally elected members are notified.
One last question. In the event that the LGA does take on board Councillor Chard's motion,
So there you go, Councillor Hull, you've got a notification of council members in there. Ms. Dinsmore, would you like to come up to the chair there around the horseshoe? Because I believe there are other questions. Councillor Gallup and Councillor Crossland.
Yes, just for my recall, actually, under the in the first line of the discussion on page 38, it mentions, in line with recommendations from the Financial Audit Committee, a privacy policy has been developed. But that wasn't in recent months, from my recall, having sat on that committee. I don't recall it coming off that committee since the major event of the committee.
No, it came as a result of when this item first got reported to them. That put it as a recommendation within the minutes.
Okay, but that's quite a few months back, though, isn't it? It would be February?
February?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And my point here is that a few things have transpired in terms of communication since then. But,
sounds like it might be getting into debate.
I don't want to do that. The other question I had was whether we as a group have an appetite for getting closer to the office of the Australian Information Commissioner in terms of their screening of our privacy policy in this sort of area, where they specialise.
I think that is a question that can only come up in debate if you want to test elected members' appetite for a particular direction.
So I'm just wondering what sort of forum we could do that in, because it's a nebulous...
this is a start, but Councillor Gard, it might be something you might give thought to, a motion to bring to council, or a topic to raise at an elected member forum. Because initially, what I understand you're saying, it might be a communication element rather than necessarily a change to this policy. But, you know,
the centre of my question is at. The issue I have with any data breach occurring well before we find out about it, or involving a lot of affected persons.
So this is just question time, factual questions, but it sounds like there's a political dimension.
There's rules within rules.
To that. Yeah. So think about those opportunities to bring it back to us.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd just like to ask staff, looking at our policy and comparing it to the privacy principles or state government legislation, is this as rigid as that? Are we bound then by the same rules if we implement this?
We have tried to align that with all the requirements here.
So are there any bits that aren't aligned? When you say you've tried, is there any bits that we haven't mirrored? So we will have the same responsibility as the government and major companies if we pass
this. We do. Sorry, when I meant we tried to align it was because they have legislative provisions that impose requirements on them. We don't have those legislative provisions. So we've kind of imposed them on ourselves in the policy and the procedures that we want to do our utmost to make sure that there is transparency.
That's my question. So we are imposing on ourselves exactly the same conditions that the state government is legislated to do.
Yep.
Very good. So I think you had three questions, You had three questions, Councillor Hunt. Someone like to move the motion? Anyone speaking in opposition? Then I'll put the motion. Three questions is three questions. That's the procedural rule. You're raising a point of order, and I don't uphold the point of order. So I'm putting it to the vote. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried by majority. Thank you. A division is called. This is going to be interesting. Our first division hybrid meeting. Yes, so we're keeping a close eye on the screen. I think under the circumstances, we can just ask people to raise their hands again. We just have to adapt. All those in favour of the motion, including those on the screen. Right, so I'll go around the table. Those in favour are Councillors Bilescu, Hutchinson, Masika, Mason, Clancy, Pryor, Telfer, Schilling, Duncan and Crossland. Those against, Councillors Hull and Gard. I declare the motion carried by majority on the division. But Councillor Hull, please feel free to take up the questions either before meetings such as this or after the meeting with Ms. Dinsmore or anyone else who can help with it. Not trying to curtail your inquiries at all. Now we get on with corporate reports for decision. The cat's confinement variation bylaw update on page 212. And would someone like to move accordingly? Basically, the motion there to wait for the Minister's response. Councillor Hull.
I don't think we've got any choice but to move this way, Mr. Mayor. However, I am concerned about how long the minister might take to actually come through with his commitment to South Australia to actually bring about this model cap by law that we refer to. In the meantime, cats are doing what cats do. They're out there pissing on your front door. They're fighting at night, keeping you awake. They're killing birds, little lizards and everything else that they decide to devour. They're going into the minister's newly declared national park, and from a number of council leaders, not just our own. And the irony is that the minister raises concerns about the welfare of the yellow-tailed black cockatoo in terms of the elephant pine, but has no real urgent concern about such native birds being destroyed by cats. And that's, I find it disappointing. I won't use the language the minister uses. I think disappointing is about as tough as I'm going to get on him tonight. I think the community expects us to carry it through. As you know, members, we canvass the community. The community was supportive of our bylaw. The irony is that even when Minister Spears was a councillor sitting in this room, we were issuing cat traps to our community, and exactly the same practices happening now and going forward. and as was proposed in the bylaw. That's the irony, and that's what seemed to be the sticking point, but it's actually happening. The only difference is that we don't have the curfew, which is really important, because largely speaking, they're nocturnal creatures and they do their hardest and nastiest work at night.
Thank you, Councillor Holm. Time is up. Seconded, Councillor. Question from Councillor.
I'll second it. I'd like an additional line, if Councillor Holm will allow me, to say this will be brought back to Council in 12 months if we have not had response from the Minister. Otherwise, it does literally just never see the light of day again.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. What do you think?
I absolutely agree with Mr. Mayor.
So, just to reinforce that the Mayor has, after the recent disallowance, the Mayor promptly wrote to the Minister to pick him up on his commitment to coming up to the model bylaw, basically asking what is the content and what is the time frame. So you would think that would be responded to within 12 months, but there's certainly no harm from a government's point of view putting that time limit on it. Councillor, I'll just
speak to it. Look, I'll echo what Councillor Hull has said. Look, we know that the CAT's responsible for the biggest loss of wildlife in our council area. We've got the most conservation parks. They're destroying the bird life. And a lot of the lizards, etc. The community were behind us, all but two councillors supported it around the horseshoe. I think that's pretty significant that we should not let this drop off the books, and if we don't hear from the Minister, we should try again.
Very good. Now, is anyone either a question or speaking against?
Just very briefly.
Councillor Garvin, Councillor Telford.
I'm just interested to know that given that we're effectively under the original bylaws at the moment, does that exacerbate our situation in any way, taking into account too that the RSPCA is, I think, pulling back almost immediately from their services agreement? Because it seems to me that there's less less processing of cats all of a sudden if the RSPCA pulls back.
So, Councillor Gard, Mr. Della Kearns will answer that.
Thank you. Excuse me, through Chair. Councillor Gard, we are dealing with the separate issue of the longer term animal management solutions as a result of RSPCA's indication that they would like to downsize some of their operations at their Lonsdale Centre, so that matter will certainly be brought back to Council for further discussion and progression prior to this matter. As a direct result of this, we will continue to see the existing enforcement within our powers that we have now and the problems that we see outside of that, which Council has noted.
So through the Chair, there's no compromise as you see it in management of our operation in the meantime?
I'll be careful in how I answer that through the Chair, because I think the bylaw was seen, the variation to the bylaw was seen to be addressing some issues, and so those issues are now not going to be addressed in a way that Council has sought to have them addressed. But what I'm saying is it'll revert back to a stable level of enforcement and issue resolution without the additional pieces of enforcement that Council was seeking to achieve.
So, Councillor Gard, just to add to that before I come to Councillor Telfer, in other words, it's the status quo as it was 2 years ago, whenever, and it means that cat traps can still be issued and will be issued to residents, save for the fact that under coronavirus times, the RSPCA is not taking those cats, and so therefore Council is not at present running out cat traps, because theoretically there's nowhere to take them. Yeah. So that's a little qualification. And the other point about bylaw is that in some respects it is actually better for cat owners. And two things about that.
Yeah.
What we were seeking to get in place actually had some advantages for cat owners, because there was the possibility of a resident who's caught a cat calling the council inspector, and the council inspector coming around and potentially taking that cat back to the owner, or at least advising the owner. That can't happen, because the council inspector can't detain and seize the cat, as I understand it. I'll ask Mr. Coombs to clarify that. Yes. So, in some respects, cat owners are more likely to lose their cats without the change to the bylaw, as well as there being greater control to avoid nuisance, whether to animals or neighbours.
And might I add, if you don't mind, there's the residual problem of domestic cats being severely injured or worse by wild cats.
Indeed. So one thing that arises out of that question is that there is that table that's on pages 215, 16, 17 of the agenda, and I met with Mr. Clark and also Mr. Della Coombs and Ms. Perrin today to talk about communication to the community to explain what has happened and what the implications are, because it is complicated. There has been mud in the water, so to speak, so we do want to provide that clarity to the community. So we'll do that. Mr. Clark will take care of that somehow. And the other point I was going to say is that after we discussed it informally on the last occasion's whole topic of cats, I was concerned that some people may have thought the mayor misrepresented the council position. So I'll send out to members just what the mayor said, so everyone can make their own mind up about that. Councillor Tilley.
Does the emphasis by the on-premier council on sterilisation at the moment via the RSPCA at Longstone have any bearing on Marion Council's position and powers?
Mr. Delacombs.
Thank you for the question. Through the chair, the decision by on-premier and RSPCA to proceed with that plan, we understand, is a result of their negotiation on their services that are provided in that council area. It has no direct bearing on matters that we're pursuing or our services. However, we're encouraged by the program that they're running as being a recognised proactive form of cat management.
All right. Is there around any other questions? Anyone? We have a move and a second. Anyone speaking in opposition? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried. Thank you. By majority. So we shall wait to hear from the minister. Now, report on revitalisation of Edwardstown. Staff have come up with an action plan, a lot of its trees, and for example, traffic management study, I think, with a modest budget. Who would like Councillor Masika to move?
Yes, thanks, Your Worship. I'd like to move for the motion. And as the Ward Councillor said, local, it's a very moving project. And the action plan, which has been developed by my staff, is excellent. And we encourage the development of the precinct and make it a very good place for the residents within the board or within the Marriott Council to visit and also attract the business sector to the area. So I'd like to ask the fellow councillors to endorse point number one and two is recommended by staff.
Thank you. Is that seconded, Councillor Mason?
Yes, I'd like to second that. I think it's important to continue the good work that we're doing. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the brand contracts. We'll come through eventually.
Indeed. Anyone speaking in opposition? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So now, this is tricky. Now, what I was going to suggest to the members, we've got Mr. Kernahan waiting to give his deputation, so I don't want to delay that too long. But it's as we said, he is perhaps best placed to give that if we go into confidence on the Cobbler's report, he can speak then. What I was going to suggest is that we deal with all of the cover reports, that is the confidentiality questions, before getting to the substantive reports. Comes back to this balancing with technology that we're trying to achieve tonight. We don't want to keep going in and out of conference because that has implications for the people that are connected off-site. So, with leave of the meeting, I'll go through each of the cover reports. So, first of all, on page 232, there's a cover report in relation to the confidential minutes of the Urban Planning Committee. There were some matters discussed there which pertain to matters of potential crucial value to the council. So, I commend that to you. Someone like to move that we deal with that confidentially. Councillor Schilling, thank you. Moved. Seconded, Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now I move on to the page 234, the cover report in relation to the Cobblers Football Club tenancy. The proposal to have that discussion, etc. in the conference. Councillor Schilling moved.
Just quickly as well, should we be mentioning Tony Kernahan in the confidential item for the presentation?
Yes, if we could. Well,
so then technically he's not allowed in the room.
Yes, that's right. So let's add Mr. Kernahan to that, but on the understanding that he would give his deputation and answer questions, but then we may invite him to take his leave.
Yeah.
So, if his name is included in that motion, that's as moved by Councillor Schilling. And that was seconded, Councillor Duncan. Thank you. So, all those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, I would look at the cover report on page 236. Cover report in relation to landlord consent for the Marion Sports and Community Club. Moved, Councillor Gard, seconded, Councillor Telfer. For those in favour, do that confidentially. That's carried unanimously. In relation to the Edwardstown Creative Industries co-working hub, it's a tender, clearly commercial intelligence, page 238. Shall we go into confidence? Moved, Councillor Mason, seconded, Councillor Masika. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Councillor Valeski, you are voting there, aren't you? Yes. Right, that was unanimous, yes. And one final one in the sequence. There's a confidential element to the revitalisation of the Edwardstown Employment Precinct on page 240. Moved, Councillor Masika, seconded, Councillor Mason. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So we will deal with those matters eventually. And we'll now come back to with the leave of the council, I would defer the confidential minutes of the Urban Planning Committee to after the Cove Cobblers item, so that makes sense. So I believe we need to do that. So now we can go to the Cove Cobblers Football Club report. So we just need to be mindful that the people who are named are the only ones who are allowed in the room for this initial part of the session. Page 34. Might just be useful to have the names up on the screen.
Yeah.